Holding on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph at the top by the Mishnah. Now that we talked about what you can and can't use for matzah, so now the next logical thing is to talk about what we can and can't use for mortar on Pesach. And actually, we're going to see in the Gemara, it's not just a matter of convenience that once we're talking about matzah, we're talking about mortar. We're going to see in the Gemara, there's actually a certain connection between them that we learn from matzah to mortar, certain dinim about what's acceptable and what's not. So the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu yirakas cha'adam yotze behen yidei chivasa bePesach." The following vegetables a person can use to be yotze the mitzvah of mortar on Pesach. By the way, I should point out, there is a difference between matzah and mortar. Matzah, according to most opinions, even nowadays that there's no code in Pesach, is still d'oraisa. Mortar, on the other hand, according there is an opinion at the end of the Masechta that's also d'rabbanan, but the accepted halacha is that at least the first night it's d'oraisa. But the mortar, everybody agrees nowadays, is only d'rabbanan. The mitzvah d'oraisa is only when you have a korban Pesach to eat it with mortar. So nowadays we only eat it d'rabbanan. So the following vegetables you can use to be yotze the mitzvah of mortar: b'chazeres. Now we're going to define all of these in the Gemara. So we'll talk about the definitions. We'll talk about the definitions there. B'chazeres, b'tamcha, over charchavina, over olshin, over mortar. One we'll see in the Gemara again what the definitions of them are. One interesting thing to point out is that actually many of the Rishonim have the girsa that olshin, which is the fourth one on our list, actually goes second. And there's a nafkamina in that because, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, you're supposed to, if you can't, the idea is you take the first one, and if you can't, then you take the second one, and if you can't, then the third one, etc. So the order is important. So we'll talk about that later. Mishnah continues, Yotzin behen ben lachin ben yuvashin. You can be yotze with them whether they're fresh or dry. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Avaloi kvushin, but not if they're pickled. Now, pickled, usually in halacha, there's two, Rashi over here mentions that kvushin means b'chomets, means in vinegar. There is also a concept that in halacha, in particular in the halachas of kashrus, that if something is soaked in water for 24 hours, that it's also considered kavush. Many of the Rishonim and the poskim say that applies over here also. Therefore, the mortar, whatever you're using for mortar, shouldn't have been soaked for 24 hours. On the other hand, there are some poskim who allow it and justify it, maybe because the point is that we're going to say later on in the Gemara. The point is that this kind of thing, pickling or any of the other things that we're going to mention now in the Mishnah, make it lose the taste of mortar, whereas just soaking it in water for a long time, even 24 hours, doesn't. Okay. So lo kvushin, v'lo shlukin, not if they're very cooked. Rashi describes shlukin as cooked so much that they're dissolving in the soup. V'lo mevushalin, and not just plain old cooked. Tosfos on Amud Beis talks about that a little bit about that also. So Tosfos basically agrees with Rashi that shlika means more than bishul. There are Rishonim who learn this Gemara and other Gemaras the other way around, that it means less cooked. But even a little bit of cooking would be a problem. Continues the Mishnah, and with styrofin l'kazayis, the various species that we're mentioning here in the Mishnah all combine together to make up a kazayis. In other words, you don't have a complete kazayis of one of them, but you have a half kazayis of one and a half kazayis of the other, then that's okay. Why are we mentioning that only here, whereas we didn't mention it in the previous Mishnah by matzah? So one explanation the Ran gives is because with matzah, there's not much of a chiddush in it. Sure, you mix together a dough made partly out of wheat and partly out of barley flour, let's say, sure. There's no chiddush that you can be yotze with that. But with mortar, each one of these five species that we're mentioning in the Mishnah has a different taste. So you would think one of them counteracts the taste, the bitterness of the other one. Maybe you can't combine them. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying that you can. Continues the mission of a yotzin b'kelach shalahen. You can be yotze with the stalk of them. Now, the Rabbi Natam says from this that this means the stalk. Yes, it means the root knot. Now, how would that work? Of course, when we use horseradish, that is the root of it. So many of the Rishonim say, and this is what's brought lahalacha, that the objection is not to the large root itself, like, for example, the large horseradish root. The objection would be to using the little roots that branch off from that to the sides. Still, they say other things being equal, if you're able to use the above ground stem, that would be better. In the case of horseradish, we can't really do that. It has only very small leaves. But in the case of, for example, when we use lettuce, we don't use the root of it. We use the actual stalks and leaves of it. Next, continues the Mishnah over d'mai. You can use d'mai, as we said in the previous Mishnah, because even though you're not allowed to eat d'mai without taking out maisers from it, but a poor person is allowed to eat it, and a person could be mafkir, is nechosim, and be considered poor. We had Tosfos discuss over there whether that's only b'dieved, or maybe since matzah is supposed to be lechem oni, maybe you could do it lechatchila. Here by morer, it's not lechem oni, so for sure it's only d'yeved. But you could be yotze with it. Over my serishin shenitla truma, so you can use my serishin where the truma was taken out, as we learned a few days ago, that you have the scenario where the Levi took his my serishin ahead of the Kohen taking his truma, and we say if he took it while it was still in the stalks, then he's not obligated to separate truma from it, and that's what our missionary is talking about. Or Meiser Sheni, the Hektish Shadiftu, and you can use Meiser Sheni and Hektish that were redeemed, as we learned then, that it means even though you didn't pay the Chomish, nevertheless, you're still allowed to use them. Obviously, the converse is true that you can't use tevel, etc. The Mishnah doesn't bother spelling that out. Actually, Rashi mentions the point, though, that still the Mishnah is implying that you can't use tevel. Now, even though truma and maiser on vegetables is definitely drabonon, it's a machlokas rishon. Everybody agrees that truma of grain and grapes and olives is daraisa, and everybody agrees that truma of vegetables is drabonon. The question is about other kinds of fruit. It's machlokas rishonim whether truma of other kinds of fruit is daraisa or not. But vegetables is definitely dirabanan. So if these vegetables are tevel, even though it's only dirabanan, still Rashi says it would still be, you'd still have the problem that we talked about the other day of mitzvah ba b'avera. Just like we said in the previous Mishnah, that when it said tevel, we said there's not a chiddush if it's tevel daraisa. Obviously, you can't use it. The chiddush is even if it's only tevel dirabanan, for example, the grain was grown in a flower pot without a hole, we said it's still no good because mitzvah ba b'avera. So the same thing would apply over here. Even though all vegetables are chayiv in maiser, only dirabanan, nevertheless, to use tevel would be a mitzvah ba b'avera. D'mai is fine because, again, there's a heter to be able to eat d'mai. So the Gemara starts off with definitions. Chazeres is what we call chasa. Most of the Rishonim and Achronim understand that Rashi translates here lituga, which is lettuce, and most of the Rishonim and Achronim agree. There are a couple of Achronim who talk about that actually it might be a plant called, they call it in Polish zerzich, in English it's called cress. The Alter Rebbe stresses that it's not that, but you have a couple of Achronim who learn that it is that. I think there are some Kehillahs nowadays that have the minig to use that. Ulshin is hindvi, which is endives. You can see the similarity, hindvi, endives. Tamcha, what is that? Amar Rabbi Babachana tmachta shma. In Aramaic, it's called tmachta. Now, the French translation that Rashi uses for it, Rashi translates it marubia, which is bepastrus. It's a plant that's called that. It's called that in Latin. That's the scientific name. In English, it's called a whorehound. It's a plant from the mint family. However, many of the Rishonim understand that Rashi is actually defining tmachta or tamcha as horseradish, which is where we get that we use horseradish for maror. The point is that, again, as we said before, you go in order of the things listed in the Mishnah. So in places where it was hard to get chazeres, lettuce, that the Rebbe points out, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in Poland or Russia Pesach time. You would only find it in warmer countries that time of year. So therefore, necessarily, then they go to the next one, which is tamcha. So that would be horseradish. Chalchavina. It means a kind of ivy that grow a kind of ivy that grows around palm trees. Tosfos points out we have with not something from the palm tree itself. It's something that grows from the ground and winds around the palm tree because the Gemara is going to say later on that mora by definition has to be some kind of herb, some kind of plant rather than something from a tree. The Rambam has a different definition of chalchavina. It's some kind of thistle or something like that. And over morer is mirirta, is a plant called mirirta. Rashi gives two translations for it, which come out to some kind of thorny plant, similar to a thistle, some kind of plant, and really related to flowers called asters. Whatever. So those are the five. So now we have some other braises on the subject. Tony Bakapara, Elu Yurokas Sha'adam Yotzeben Yudei Chivasa Pesach, the following vegetables a person can use for the mitzvah of Morar on Pesach, Ba'olshin, as we said, endives, over Tamcha, horseradish, Ba'charchalin, and Rashi says, I don't know what charchalin are, Ba'chachavinin, is Chachavina of our Mishnah, so it's the ivy that grows on palm trees or whatever, over Chazrin, and with Chazeres, with lettuce. By the way, I mean, when we say over here lettuce, in principle, it could mean any kind of lettuce. Lamaisa, we're noyig to use only to use romaine lettuce. That's the kind that, as the Gemara is going to say later on, becomes bitter as it grows older. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af ulshe sade ulshe gina v'chazeres. Rabbi Yehuda says you could also use garden endives. Sade is the field, so also wild endives. So even though they have a shem levi, they have a secondary name, you would argue maybe only the endives you could use are the kind that are called plain ulshin without any secondary name. No, he's telling you can use ulshe sade, but ulshe gina, you can also use cultivated ones, but chazeres, and you can also use chazeres. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ulshe ginev chazeres atonale resha. Atonale resha. What is Rabbi Yehuda adding with those last two? We already learned them in the beginning of the Braisa, that you can use ulshin, which for pashtus means ulshe ginev, means cultivated endives, and that you can use chazeres. So what is Rabbi Yehuda, why is Rabbi Yehuda repeating those? The answer is hachi kama, what Rabbi Yehuda means to say. Af ulshe sade ku ulshe ginev chazeres. Wild ulshin, wild endives are just as good as cultivated endives or lettuce. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Rab Meir Omer af asvas v'tura umau yiroya. Rab Meir says there's four other things that you could use for maror: asvas, tura, mar, and yiroya. Rabbi Yossi says, I agree with you on the din, but you should know that those are not four separate things. Asvas v'tura echad hu. Asvas and tura are actually the same thing. Umar zehu yiroyar, and mar and yiroyar are the same thing. So you're really only talking about two different kinds of vegetables rather than four kinds. A different girsa that the Maharshal has is that he tells him asvas and tura are one thing, and it is bitter, and therefore it's also called mau yoroyer. So according to the Maharshal's girsa, Rabbi Yossi is informing Rabbi Meir that all you thought these are four different vegetables, they're actually only one kind of vegetable, which happens to be bitter. Okay, another braisa, tonedveir Shmuel, elu yurokas she'adam yotze behen yudei chivasa v'pesach b'chazeres. Lettuce, ba'olshin, endives, over tamcha, horseradish, over charvinin. We don't have over here what that is. Maybe it's charvinin under another name. Over charginin, also charginin, which is also unspecified what that is. Over hardufnin, and with hardufnin, which is Rashi brings a possible translation of it, that it is wormwood. It's what they put there's an alcoholic drink called vermouth. They put that in there in order to give it a bitterish flavor. Actually, Yabri Shonim, who learned that Morer of our Mishnah is that's how the Alter Rebbe brings the definition in Shulchan Aruch, that Morer, the fifth one in our Mishnah, means wormwood. But here you have here Shmuel is calling it under a different name, Hadufnin. Rabbi Yehuda Ema Af Chazeres Yoylin V'Chazeres Galin V'Chayotz Behen. Rabbi Yehuda says you can also use Chazeres Yoylin. Again, even though it's not regular Chazeres, it has a secondary name. So like nowadays, you would have there's romaine lettuce and iceberg lettuce and so on and so forth. So this would be something similar. You could still use it. But Chazeres Galin, you could also use Chazeres Galin, which is also where it has a second name, and still Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Those are just as good. Continues the Braisa. Actually, this we had in a Mishnah in Eruvin. Rabbi Ila says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, af our kavlim. Another thing you can use for murder is our kavlim, which is another Rashi brings from the Gemara in Eruvin, that it's also some kind of ivy that grows, round and round things. So in the Mishnah, we learned about, we had the ivy that grows around palm trees, that we said is fine. But here we're talking about some other thick kind of ivy, which is a different species. There are a couple of other opinions what our kavlim are exactly, but whatever it is, one opinion is in fact that our kavlim grow from the palm tree itself or from some other kind of tree itself. So v'chazarti our kol tamidim, said Rabbi Ilah continues, I went around among all of Rabbi Eliezer's tamidim, or v'kashti lichaver, I was looking for a colleague, somebody else who would confirm that Rabbi Eliezer had said that our kavlim you can use for murder. V'loy matzasi, but I couldn't find. Nobody else had heard that from Rabbi Eliezer. Uchshabasi lifnei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, but when I came to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, hoida l'dvarai, Then he agreed with me. Which means, by the way, Tosfos says over there in Erevin, it doesn't mean necessarily that he agreed that in fact Rabbi Eliezer said this. He may have agreed it's correct api halacha that you can use it, but not necessarily that he had heard it from Rabbi Eliezer. Especially Tosfos says over there, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov may not have even been a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. What the underlying machloikas is a couple of explanations among Rishonim. One of them is the Gemara is going to say soon that murder has to be something that grows, has to be some kind of herb, some kind of smallish plant that grows from the ground, whereas we could say our kavlim grows from a tree. So Rabbi Ilah is telling us Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't agree with that definition. He would hold that murder could be something from a tree, and the other Chachamim disagree with that. Another possibility is the Gemara is going to say soon that the ones that you can use for murder have some kind of white sap that oozes out of them, and this one doesn't. So again, the question would be whether it fits the definitions of murder. Okay, continues the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it says on the side, kol sheyesh le'sraf, what kind of vegetable can you use for murder? It doesn't dafka have to be one of the ones that we mention in all these lists. It could be any one that has sraf, that has, when you squeeze it, if Rashi describes, if you cut it and then you squeeze the area that you cut, then a white milky liquid comes out of it. So any vegetable that's like that, you can use for maro. For example, you know, when you were kids, you took dandelions or something and cut them and pulled them from the ground, and then you would have where they were pulled from the ground, you have a little whitish liquid comes out of them. So that might be the kind of thing that Rabbi Huda is talking about, that would mean therefore that you could use dandelions for murder. Rabbi Yechon and Berakoima, kosher pon of machsifin. Rabbi Yechon ben Broika says the definition of a plant that you can use for murder is any one where the leaves are pale. Now you have some vegetables that have leaves that are very deep green, like for example, Rashi gives an example like leeks. So those aren't good for murder, but you have ones where the leaves are paler green. Those are the kind that you can use for murder. Acherim, which usually means a mayor, says, Kol Yerek Mao, Yeshle Sraf, Ufan of Machsifim. That actually the definition is any bitter vegetable has both of those characteristics. It has the whitish liquid that comes out when you squeeze it where it's cut, and also that it's, and also that the leaves are a pale green. So that thus far the Braisa. So by putting together all the lists and all the definitions that we have our Mishnah, we have Bar Kapores, Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, from all of them we can see, by putting together all these lists and identifying what all these plants are, we can see that yes, what Acherim is saying is correct. Yerek Mao Yeshle Sarof upon of Yeshle Sraf upon of Machsifim, that all bitter vegetables have this whitish liquid that comes out of them, and they also have paler green leaves rather than deep green. So that's it. Amar Rabbuna Halacha Kacherim, the Halacha is like Acherim. Now, does that mean, though, that you can use any species? So you have some poskim that say, nevertheless, though, what that means is all five of the ones that we're mentioning in the Mishnah have these two characteristics. Therefore, you can use any of these five. Lav davka, does that mean that you can use any other plant? Because after all, if the Mishnah had meant you could use any one, then it would have just given these simonim. So there is an argument, therefore, that you can use only the five that are mentioned in the Mishnah. On the other hand, there is an argument that, you know, the Gemara is giving over here simonim, implying that you can use other ones as well. And we had Bar Kapara and we had Shmuel and so forth giving other ones as well. So in Shulchan Aruch, actually what it says is, l'chatchila, you should take one of the five. If you can't find one of the five, then you can use any bitter vegetable that meets these criteria that we're saying over here in the Gemara. The halacha is not usually like a chayim. Stam Mishnah is your mayor. Stam Mishnah is your Mishnah. That's not saying, but here you don't have a Stam Mishnah. This is a Braisa, which mentions, among others, the opinion of Acherim. So we need to be told. So we need to be told that Halacha is like him, right? Yeah. So that's, now, again, okay, so let's continue, and then we'll talk about the order of precedence. Okay, so far what we have is that, yeah, we have these definitions of what you can use for maror, and the definition of how we know whether it's a maror-like plant. So the Gemara continues, Ravina Ashkechel Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, to have a Mahadar Amirirta. Ravina one time found Rav Acha Brei D'Rava was looking around to try and get Mirirta, which is the fifth item that we mentioned in the Mishnah. We said maror, and so it would, which Rashi had translated with two French words, and over here he uses one of them, which is it refers to a plant related to asters, related to the type of flower that they sell in flower stores or whatever, called asters, and it has called an aster, and there's a lot of different plants in its family. Some of them have thorns, some of them are bitter, etc. So he was looking specifically for that. Amalei, so Ravina asked him, my daitach, what are you thinking that you're looking dafka for that? You're thinking because those are extra bitter, and therefore you figure that's the best thing to use. But in our Mishnah, the first one on the list is Chazeres. In Tana Dvei Shmuel's list, also Chazeres is first. And the implication is that the earlier in the list it is, this is what the poskim are saying before, that the earlier it is in the list, the more preferable it is to use. Which is why it's negei lahalacha, that question of whether ulshin, the endives that are in our Mishnah, are they fourth on the list or are they second? Because if they're second, then it means that it's better to use those rather than horseradish. Lamaisa, most Ashkenazim are noyig to use either lettuce or horseradish, or min chabad is a combination of both. Some people use horseradish for maror and lettuce for korech. Sfardim by and large use ulshin, which are endives, or there's a related species called escarole. Many Sfardim use that, which according to the Girsa that they're following, that's second on the list in the Mishnah after Chazeres. So if Chazeres is not available, and in many places it wasn't, then they use endives or escarole instead, and that's their preferred thing over horseradish, which is only third on the list according to them. No, it's the same shoe either way you need kazais. So anyway, so continuing the discussion between Ravina and Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, so we see in our Mishnah and in Tana Dvei Shmuel that Chazeres is first on the list. V'amar Rav Oshia mitzvah b'chazeres. In fact, Rav Oshia says the ideal way to do the mitzvah is to use Chazeres, which is horseradish. Not horseradish, which is lettuce, romaine lettuce. V'omar Rava my chazeres chasa. In fact, Rava said that what is chazeres? We said at the top of the Amud that Rava that we define chazeres as chasa, which is lettuce, and my chasa. Why is it called chasa? Or Marsha says, why specifically is there an Indian to use chasa? Because it represents the chas rachmana ilavon that Hashem had rachmanas on us and took us out of Mitzrayim. V'amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yenison, and in fact, Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni says in the name of Reb Yenison, Loma Nimshalu Mitzriim Kamarer. Why are the Mitzriim compared to Marer? Vaymarer was Chayehem. Loy Malach, Mam Marer Zeh Shetchilase Rach V'Soyfe Kasha. Just like Marer, it first starts out soft and later on it becomes hard, which means Rashi says as it matures, the stalk of it becomes hard. Af Mitzriim Tchilas and Rak of a Seif and Kasha. The same way the Mitzriim started out gentle, and first they became very harsh. Rashi describes, based on a Medrash, that first they would make the Jew, first they would have the Jews work for them for pay, and then they took away the pay and started making them work for nothing. There's a couple of other explanations. One of them being there's also a Medrash that says how the Mitzriim tricked the Jews into working for them in the first place. Is one day Pare comes out holding bricks and holding a form for making bricks, and we have this great public works project. Everybody come contribute, and of course if the king is going, then everybody's going to go. And then afterwards, once they have them in there, then they keep them schlepped in there. So it's also the idea that they started out gentle and eventually became harsh. So therefore, for all those reasons, lettuce is preferable. And by the way, what do we mean over here when we say, so some Mefarshim don't like the explanation that Rashi is saying, that it becomes hard as it grows. Most plants are like that. There are a lot of plants like that, that they start soft, and then as they mature, they grow harder. We're not talking about, again, apples. We're going to say soon that it can't be things from trees. But we're as far as herbs, as far as plants that grow from the ground, not all of them, obviously. I mean, grass, let's say, always stays soft. But yeah, many different kinds of plants that start out soft and then become hard. So there's an explanation that the there's a couple of other explanations. One of them being that lettuce, the longer you let it grow, the more bitter it gets. In other words, like this, the lettuce that we buy in the stores is picked when it's fairly when it's fairly young, so therefore it's still pretty sweet. But if you were to leave it to grow longer, then it would become bitter. Regular lettuce, romaine lettuce, yeah. Romaine lettuce, particularly. Yeah. In fact, actually, I saw somebody explained if you leave a head of lettuce growing for too long, eventually what happens is the middle of it starts growing taller. From the middle of it comes out a stem that starts growing taller with new leaves on it. Those new leaves are much bitterer than the regular lettuce leaves. And in fact, they have the sap in them that the Gemara mentioned before, the white sap that comes out of them if you cut them. So therefore, that might well be what the Gemara is referring to over here, that it becomes bitter if you let it grow beyond the time when you would normally pick the lettuce. Okay. Anyway, the point is that Ravina is telling Rav Acha Brei de Rava, based on all of this, you shouldn't be looking for Mirirta, even though it's more bitter. You should be looking for Chazeres, even though on the face of it, it's not as bitter. Amalei, so Acha Brei de Rava says, after all these proofs, fine, Hadribi, I changed my mind. I won't look for Mirirta anymore. Okay. Well, so the idea is it should be bitter, but on the other hand, we're saying that Chazeres has these special qualities that it's called Chasa, and that it becomes bitter as it matures, and therefore represents how the Egyptians treated the Yidden. So therefore, for that reason, even if right now it's not as bitter as the other ones, nevertheless, there's still more of an Inyan to take it. Okay. Now, so let's talk about the general. Okay, so far we've had all the different definitions of what vegetables you can and can't use. We had the simonim of them, but why are we assuming b'chlal that moro is a vegetable? Who says b'chlal that moro is specifically some kind of vegetable? Maybe it should be the gall of a fish called kufya. There's this fish. Rabbeinu Hananel defines it as a fish that's called in other places in the Gemara shibuta. Whatever it is, the point is the gall of it that's stored in the gallbladder of it is very bitter stuff. So maybe that's what the pasuk means. You should be taking that and eating it on Pesach night. The answer is no. Dumya de matzah. The answer is that no. It has to be similar to matzah because there's a hekesh between them. Al matzah su merurim yechlu. So therefore, just like ma matzah gedulei kaka, just like matzah is made from things that grow from the ground, af moro gedulei kaka. The same way moro has to be something that grows from the ground. Okay. The ema hirduf. So maybe say that it should be hirduf, which is it's a bitter plant. In fact, Rashi brings from the Medrash that this is the plant. This is when they were by Mara and the water was bitter and the Jewish people are complaining. So the pasuk says, "Vayirei Hashem eight." So Hashem showed Moshe a certain tree and he cut it and threw it into the water and the water became sweet. And the Medrash mentions this was Nes Pesach Nes because the plant was Hirduf, which is a bitter plant, and so a bitter plant going into bitter water and yet it made the water sweet. So maybe say that moro should be hirduf. Actually, Tosfos points out that the Gemara in another place mentions that hirduf is also poisonous to animals, and therefore it's not drachei dachei noyam. But nevertheless, okay, the Gemara over here has a better answer. The answer is again dumya de matzah. Moro has to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah min zroim af moro min zroim. Matzah is made from from plants that grow in the ground, not from trees. So therefore, moro also has to be something that's planted as seeds rather than trees. Okay, ve'ema hauzipu. Maybe say that you should be using hauzipu, which is, Rashi defines it, it is some kind of plant. It is actually poisonous to animals like hirduf, but nevertheless, it is something, it is an herb that grows from the ground. Maybe you should use that. And again, the answer is dumya de matzah. It has to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah shenikachas b'kesef meiser. Just like matzah can be bought with ma'aser sheni money, af moro shenikach b'kesef ma'aser, the same way the moro has to be some kind of thing which can be bought with ma'aser sheni money, meaning something that is normally eaten. all the various vegetables that we mentioned are normally eaten at one time or another. Okay, maybe nowadays you don't have people don't eat them much, but in those times, at least people would normally eat one or another, as opposed to how zippo is something that people don't normally eat. So therefore, you couldn't buy it with my sashimi money. Therefore, you can't use it for mara. Okay. That's what I'm saying. You can, with my sashimi money, you can only buy only food, and only, as we learned in Erevin, primi privi gedulika. Okay, it has to be something that reproduces, that produces children, and that it grows directly or indirectly from the ground. So, for example, animals are fine because they eat grass, which grows from the ground. Fine. How zippo is primi privi gedulika, but it's not food. People don't normally eat it. So therefore, you wouldn't be able to buy it with Maaser Sheni money. Just like, for example, you wouldn't be able to buy, let's say, a chair or a table or something with Maaser Sheni money. So therefore, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're saying. All the species that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Chazeres, Tamcha, etc., all of those are things that people eat. I forgot to mention, by the way, an interesting thing as far as using horseradish. The Chavis Dat, now like this, of course, we always grate the horseradish, and even as it is, it's pretty sharp stuff. The Chavis Das actually holds that you're not supposed to. He says you have to eat it whole, because otherwise you're changing the taste of it. Most other posts can disagree with him, and fortunately, and allow us to grant and allow us to grade it. In fact, I think the Mishnah Berurah stresses you should grade it, because otherwise it's practically a sakana to eat it whole. Fine. Who says that there are many different species that are considered moror? Maybe there's only one. Maybe the most bitter kind should be, or the most symbolic kind, or whatever, should be used for moror. Why are we saying that you have five or more different species? The answer is morerim ksiv, because the pasuk doesn't say moror in the singular. It says morerim, amatzas a morerim yechlu. So that means there's more than one. Okay, ve'ema morerim tirei. So maybe it means there's only two species that you can use as moror. Where do we get five? The answer is drumia de matzah. Again, it has to be similar to matzah. Ma matzah, minin habe, af mora, minin habe. Just like matzah, you have many different species. You have five different species, as we said in the previous Mishnah. So mora, there also has to be more than just two. And in fact, it comes out parallel, because there are five for matzah and five for mora. That's what we're saying. So it has to be, because it says merorim, means it has to be at least two, but because of the similarity to matzah, it means there are more than two. It means we don't have to limit ourselves only to the two most bitter ones. We can use any of the five that are mentioned in the Mishnah, or b'dievet, any other one. Reb Levick actually points out in one place in his writings in Lakota Levi Yitzchak that a deeper idea behind that is that both matzah and merorim represent gvuros. And you have hay gvuris, so therefore with each of them you have five species. And he says, if you see in the Gemara before, you have of the five that are mentioned in the Mishnah, three out of them, when the Gemara defines them, it gives completely different names for them in Aramaic. Chazeres becomes Chasa, Ulshan becomes Hindavi. Only two of them, Tamcha and Murr, keep their same names. And he says that's symbolic of the idea. If you count them, those are the second and fifth in the list. So those represent respectively Bina and Hoid, which are on the side of Gvura. Those are on the side of the Sfiris that associated with Gvura, and therefore those are such strong Gvura that they keep their name even in another language. Amar Rab bar Rav Huna Amar Rab. Yurokas sh'amru chachamim sh'odam yotzeh b'han yudei chivasa b'pesach. These vegetables that were saying that a person can be yotzeh the mitzvah of morer on Pesach, kulan nizroin baruga achas, you're allowed to plant all of them in one plot of land in a garden. Meaning, which on the face of it sounds like it means like there's no problem of kilayim between them. So the Gemara asks, why not? You're telling me there's no problem of planting these different species together. There's no problem of kilayim. Masiv Rava. Rava says, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Masechta Kilayim tells us, chazeres for chazeres galin, regular lettuce and chazeres galin are not kilayim. Ulshin v'ulshe sada, regular endives and wild endives. Kreshin u'kreshe sada, leeks and wild leeks. Kusper v'kusper sada, coriander, cilantro, whatever, and wild cilantro. Chardo v'chardo mitzri, regular mustard and Egyptian mustard. Udlas ha-mitzri v'haramutza, or Egyptian squash and remutza squash. Remutza is called that. because Meloshin Remetz, which is hot ashes, Rashi in other places explains that it would never ripen on the vine. They would harvest it from the, they would cut it from the vine, and then they'd bury it in hot ashes for it to completely ripen. Anyway, the point is that all of those einim kalayim zebezeh, so those are not kalayim one with another. The Rambam explains, based on the Yerushalmi on Masechet Kalayim, that the idea is sometimes you have different kinds of plants which genetically and in basic appearance and everything are the same. Just to have there's a wild variety and there's a cultivated variety, or you have in different places they cultivate this thing in different places and they end up with different varieties of it. Sort of like you have an example of that would be, for example, you have cauliflower is cauliflower is basically the same plant as kale, which you can also buy in the store. Just the difference is one is grown more, or it's the same thing as cabbage. Just cabbage is grown more for its leaves, and cauliflower is grown more for its florets. So, but they're the same underneath it all. They're the same species genetically. So therefore, so those kinds of things are not kalayim one with another, as opposed to when you have, let's say, plants, which even though they may look fairly similar, but they taste different, or they're actually different plants and they just happen to look somewhat the same, then they're still kalayim. So therefore, so of the ones in our Mishnah, so they should be kalayim one with another. The implication is chazeres for chazeres galin ein. So for example, regular lettuce and galim lettuce are not kilayim one with another, and you can plant them one next to another. Chazeres for olshin loy, but the implication is that lettuce and endives would be kilayim one with the other, and you can't plant them next to each other. So what do you mean you can plant them all in one garden plot? Maybe you could answer, you know what, this whole long list that the Mishnah gives, maybe it means that all 10 or 14 or however many things there are in this Mishnah are all not, maybe the Mishnah is chazeres v'chazeres galon ulshin v'ulshesadeh kreshin or kreshesadeh, etc. All of these things are not kalayim, none of them are kalayim with each other. Can't be. V'ha'amar Rav zugas zugas katani. Rav says that no, the Mishnah is meant to be read in pairs. Chazeres v'chazeres galin are not kalayim. Ulshin and ulshe sada are not kalayim, etc. But any one from one pair and any one from another pair are kalayim. So what do you mean that you can plant them all in one plot? The answer is my nizroin d'amar Rav. You know what? When Rav says you're allowed to plant them all in one garden plot, he means nizroin kilchasan. He means you're allowed to plant them according to the halachas of it, which we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that you can have a plot 6x6 tefachim, and you're allowed to plant up to 5 different species in it. You have one in the middle and 4 on the 4 sides. There's a few different ways that Rishonim understand the details. For example, the Rambam holds that the one in the middle can be large enough where the corners of it touch the side ones, but only the corners, because then it still looks distinct. As opposed to, you have Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim over there talk about different possibilities of it. Tosfos talks about it a little bit over here on Olam Beis, that maybe you can only have a single row or even a single plant of it on each of the 4 sides, and then one single one in the middle, because they have to be 3 tefachim apart. So Rav is telling us that you can plant them according to those halachas in a small plot like that. So the Gemara says kilchos and tanena. Then what do we need Rav to tell us? We learn a Mishnah like that. We learned in Masechta Shabbos. Aruga shishit tefachim al shishit tefachim. If you have a plot of land 6x6 tefachim, zorin mesecha chamisha zeroinin, you're allowed to plant in it 5 different types of seeds. Arba al arba ruchas haruga, 4 on the 4 sides of the plot, the achas b'emtza, and 1 in the middle. Again, according to Tosfos, you're talking about, let's say, that you only have one on each of the 4 sides, one in the middle of the north side, one in the middle of the east side, et cetera, and then one in the middle. So that way, each one is 3 tefachim away from the other one, and that's enough for it to be separate. You have other Rishonim who learn that you can have a whole line of it along the sides, and then you just have one in the middle. And the Rambam holds that you can actually have a diamond shape of it in the middle, because it's fine, because even though parts of it are within 3 tefachim of the side ones, but since it's only a corner and it's visibly distinct, then therefore it's okay. So we see from that Mishnah that you're able to do that. So what is Rav? So what's Rav's chiddush? The answer is ma'udatema hani mila bizroin. If you didn't have Rav telling us that, you would think that maybe only applies to seeds, which are fairly small, to things that grow from seeds, which are fairly small plants. Maybe it wouldn't apply to larger vegetables, to these kinds of things, which are large vegetables. They're big leaves. Maybe you wouldn't be allowed to. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rav wants to tell us that you could do it even with these vegetables. So the question is, lememra do you rock? So now at this point, the Gemara is not assuming that it's a matter of the size of them. The Gemara is assuming right now that it's a matter of how much, how far do their roots extend and they take nourishment from the ground. The idea why you need to have three tefachim separation between one species and another is so they're not both taking nourishment from the same place in the ground. They shouldn't be taking nurture one from the other. So are we saying, therefore, that Yerokas are stronger in that regard than Zroyim? And therefore, from the Mishnah, we would know only Zroyim, and we needed Rav to tell us that the same thing applies to Yerokas. But we learn in a Mishnah, we learn in the following Mishnah, in Kilayim, the other way around. Kolmine Zroyim en Zoden Baruga. When it comes to different kinds of zroyim, you're not allowed to plant them all in one aruga like that. Only kol mini yirokas zoden baruga achas. You're only allowed to do that with different kinds of vegetables. One idea is because zroyim are usually planted in larger amounts. So therefore, if you're going to plant, you're going to plant smaller amounts in there, you're going to end up planting more because you don't usually, let's say you're growing wheat, for example, you're not going to plant only one wheat seed or you know, one row of wheat. You're going to eventually plant more, and then you're going to have it's all going to be mixed up together. As opposed to Yerokas, so very commonly you grow only a small amount of Yerokas. So therefore, so we see that Zroyim are stronger than Yerokas. Okay, but the answer is Ma'ur Tema Hani Morer Min Zroyim Ninu. Fine, but still, we said on Amud Aleph that Morer has to be something that's Min Zroyim, something that's planted, which we said is why, for example, you can't use which is why we said you can't use, for example, Hirduf, because that's a tree, and we said you have to use something that grows from the ground. So you would think Morer is considered Min Zroyim, and therefore, as the Mishnah is saying over there, you can't plant them in one bed like that. Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rav wants to tell us that now. What do you mean Zroyim? What do you mean? You'd think that Morer is considered a kind of Zroyim. V'hatnan Yerokas. In our Mishnah, we said Elu Yerokas. These are the vegetables that a person can be yotze with. V'toni Bakapora Yerokas. Bakapora's Braisa also introduces it by saying Yerokas. V'toni De Shmuel Yerokas. And Shmuel's Braisa also. So everybody agrees that these things are Yerokas, not Zroyim. So what's the so again, if they're Yerokas, we see clearly from the Mishnah in Kilayim that you're allowed to plant multiple ones in one garden bed of 6x6 tefachim. So again, what's the Chiddush? So that's the thing. What we're saying is Yerokas means one way you can think of the difference is Yerokas are plants where mostly you grow them for their greens. The word Yerek comes from the Yorek, which means green. So they're plants that mostly you grow them for their leaves, for their green leaves or stems or what have you, as opposed to Zroyim are things that you grow more for their seeds. So all these things that we're using in the Mishnah, we're not growing them for their seed. Nobody grows lettuce or endives or horseradish or whatever for its seeds. They grow it for the plant itself. So it's mina yirokas. So then what's the chiddush? The Mishnah tells us over there you can plant multiple mina yirokas in this garden plot over here. The answer is chazeres. The chiddush that Rav has to tell us is regarding chazeres, specifically regarding lettuce. Since, as we said on Amud Aleph, eventually if you leave it growing in the ground, it will become hard and it will become large. Maybe to begin with, we have to allow more space around it because it becomes very thick. So therefore, it takes up more space in the aruga. And if you plant it to begin with, eventually it's going to grow very large, and it's going to interfere with the other ones. Yeah. So after all, lav amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. After all, didn't Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina say kelach shel kruv shehuksha? If you plant cabbage, and eventually the cabbage also becomes very large, then marchiven lo base roiva. Then you have to allow enough space around it and not plant near it up to a base roiva. A base roiva is like this: a roiva is roiva hakav, is 1/4 of a kav. There are 6 kavim in a saw. Now we learned in Erevin many times about the concept of base sasayim. You have the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan was the area where you could plant 2 saw of grain. So therefore, so a roiva is 1/48 of that. Because again, you have in 2 saw, there are going to be 12 kavim, and in each kav, there's 4 roivas. So 12 times 4 is 48. So therefore, it's 1/48 the size of the chotzer of the Mishkan. The chotzer of the Mishkan, we learned the base sasayim, we learned in Erevin, was 5,000 square amas. Therefore, this is 5,000 divided by 48. It comes out to about 104 square amas. it comes out. If you're making a square out of it, it would be about 10.2 amos by 10.2 amos. So we're saying that when you plant a cabbage and it becomes large, then you need at huksha, that it becomes hard and it becomes large, then you need to give a space of base roiva, a space of 10.2 amos around it, and not plant anything nearby it because it's growing large like that. And therefore, it's going to, the leaves of it are going to get mixed up with the leaves of the other plant. And it's going to look like they were all planted together in a mixed way. That's the thing, as they grow. So that's the thing. At Shahuksha, once it grows hard and it starts growing larger, then you need to give it much more space. So the same thing, you would think the same thing then should apply to the lettuce over here, that maybe you should have to leave it much more space, and therefore you can't plant it as one of the five in the aruga, because eventually it's going to grow much larger. Kamash Malon, therefore Rav is telling us that with lettuce, you don't have to worry about it. Maybe eventually, taka, if it becomes that large, you would need to clear out the other ones, but as long as it hasn't, then you don't need to worry about it. So that was Rav's chiddush. We said in the Mishnah, Yotzin ben ben lachin ben yuvashin chula. We said we can be yotze with these, with any of these vegetables, whether they're fresh or dry. Amar Rav Chista lo shonu el bekelach. So Rav Chista says that part about fresh or dry applies only to the stalk of it or the root of it. Avabolin, but when it comes to the leaves, lachin ein yuvashin loy. Only if they're fresh, not if they're dry. Because once they're dry, they don't have the taste of mora anymore. So the question is, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vav midikatoni sefer bekelach shalahen. What do you mean? The sefer says you can be yotze with the stalk, implying mekal de resha olin. So the resha is talking about the leaves, and it was saying that you can use whether they're fresh or dry. The answer is no. Perushi kamafarish. What it means is the Mishnah is explaining ki katoni ben lachin ben yevashin. When it's saying that you can be yotze, whether it's fresh or dry, is referring to the stalk. And the idea is, Mephoshim say, because the stalk is thicker, so therefore, even if it's dry, it's not going to be so dry, it's not going to be so dried out as to lose the taste of mora, as opposed to the leaves are thin, they can lose their taste very easily. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction, though. A Braisa says, Yotzin behen of a kelach shalahen, you can be yotze with any of these species, or with their, implying with their leaves, or with their stalks. Bain lach and bain yuvashin, whether they're fresh or dry, divid a meir, vacham lach and yotzin behen. The chum say only if they're fresh can be yotze with them. Yuvashin and yotzin behen, you can't be yotze if they're dry. The shovin, both the meir and the chacham agree, she yotzin behen kmushim, that you can be yotze with them if they're only withered, so they're partially dry but not completely dry. Avaloi kvushin, but not if they're pickled. Avaloi shlukin, not if they're overcooked, volume of a shalin, not if they're regular cooked. Klolish shal davar, the general rule is kol sheyesh betam moro yotzin bo, whenever it has a taste of moro, you can be yotze with it. V'chol she'ein bo tam moro ein yotzin bo, when it doesn't have a taste of moro, you can't be yotze with it. So we see therefore that Rameyer is saying that you can be yotze with the stalks, whether they're fresh or dry. The Mishnah also, stam Mishnah Rameyer. So Bepashtus then in the Mishnah, when it said you can be yotze fresh or dry, is referring to the stalks, and we see therefore that when he says brahen or kelach shalahen, when he says them or their stalks, it means Rameyer is allowing both. It means Rameyer is allowing even the leaves when they're dry. Stam Mishnah Rameyer, so therefore in the Mishnah it would mean the same thing also, that you can be yotze with the leaves when they're dry. So what are you telling me that you can't? The answer is Targuma Akelach. Explain that what Rameyer is saying is referring to the stalk. In other words, when Rameyer says Yotzin behen or Akelach shalahen, fine, you can be yotze with the leaf or with the leaves or with the stalks. But then when he says Bein Lachin, Bein Yevashin, he means that when it comes to the stalk, you can be yotze whether it's fresh or dry. But the leaves have to be fresh. The stalk is the one in the middle. Yeah, like you think of, for example, celery. Let's say the stalk is the middle thing. Yeah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, ein yotzin behen kmushim. You can't be yotze. Now, unlike the previous Braisa said that Rameyer and the Chachamim both agree that you can use kmushim, ones that are a little bit dried out, but this Braisa says you can't be yotze when they're kmushim, when they're wilted, when they're a little dry. Meshum Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, I mean yotzin behen kmushim. And they said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, though, that you could. Lamaisa, when it comes to the leaves, we say that you shouldn't use kmushim either, because again, they lose their taste of mora very easily. With the stalks, you can use them when they're kmushim. You can use them when they're partially dry or even completely dry. Yeah, that's what we're saying, because with the leaves, once they dry out, then they lose their mora flavor. Yeah. Okay. Turn it up. Boy Rami Bachama. Are you allowed to use motor of Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim and be yotze the mitzvah? So, I'll leave it at Rabbi Kiva loyti boilach. Now, if you're asking according to, now, we had the machloikas Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Kiva the other day, whether you can use Meiser Sheni for matzah, and we had Rabbi Yosef Aglili saying that you can't because it has to be nechel b'simcha. Because it has to be nechel b'simcha, because it has to be lechem oini, meaning it has to be lechem oini, or the other way around, because it has to be something that could be eaten not b'simcha, because we said lechem oini is darshining oini meloshin aninus with an aleph, so and then therefore maaser sheni is not in that category. So a little bit about kiva loy tiboy loch. According to Rabbi Kiva, there's no question. Hashta b'matzah da'araisib nofik b'moda d'rabbanan m'boya. If you can be yotze, even matzah, which where ma'aser sheni of matzah is da'araisa, and you would think, and we had the argument before, whether there's also, we said also there's the point, whether you're able to eat it b'chol mo shavos, whether you're able to eat it anywhere where Jews live. And we said Rabbi Kiva allows it because it could become tamei, and then you could be poydeh and take it outside of Yerushalayim. But if we allow that, even with matzah, we're Meiser Sheni, if it is Daraisa, the Moro did Abonon Miboya, would it need to be said with Moro? Where would it need to be said with Moro? Where Meiser Sheni of Moro is only Dirabanon? So then, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no question. So the question would be, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, my, but matzah daraisa hu delay nafik. Maybe he would say, you're not yotze with matzah, seeing as how maaser sheni of it is daraisa. So daraisa, you're not allowed to eat it by ninus, and therefore that contradicts lechem oini. Aval moro d'rabbanon nafik, but moro with the whole concept of maaser sheni of moro is only d'rabbanon, because we said before, truma and maaser on vegetables is only d'rabbanon according to everybody. So maybe therefore nafik, maybe therefore he's yotze. Or maybe called the takinu rabbanon, kein daraisa takun. Maybe we have a usual rule that when the chachamim make a takana, then they model it as closely as possible on the parallel din daraisa. So then, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, if you can't use maaser sheni for matzah, then you can't use it for maror either. By the way, Rashi brings another explanation about matzah and maror being daraisa and darabanon respectively, that we're talking about the question that we mentioned before about that matzah is the mitzvah of matzah is daraisa nowadays, whereas the mitzvah of maror is darabanon. So maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. Rashi says, though, that no, because after the Churban, you don't bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim Bechlal, so there's nothing to talk about whether you can use Meiser Sheni or not. And even according to the opinions that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Beis Mikdash still continues to exist, and therefore you could bring Meiser Sheni over there, then the Mishnah, Rami Bar Chama should have clarified that he's talking about nowadays, not Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Ayakayim. So Rashi doesn't like that explanation, and he prefers the first explanation, which we said is that matzah, both that we're talking when both of them is a chiyuv d'araisa, but we're saying that the chiyuv of Meiser Sheni in matzah, in grain, which matzah is made out of, is d'araisa, whereas the chiyuv of Meiser Sheni on vegetables is only d'rabbanan. Anyway, so what would be the deal according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Amar Rava mistabra matzah u'maror. So Rava says it's logical that since there's a hekesh between matzah and maror, so therefore yes, Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say. Since Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say you can't be yotze with maaser sheni with matzah of maaser sheni, then he would say the same thing is true as with maror, even though maaser sheni of maror is only d'rabbanan. According to Rabbi Akiva, the question doesn't even begin, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you can use maaser, you can use matzah of maaser sheni, so you can use maror of maaser sheni, right? Okay, let's maybe start the Mishnah and learn a little of the Gemara on it. So now we're getting back to dinim of chametz. So we've talked about what species can become chametz. So now this Mishnah is going to talk about some practical things that a person might want to do with grain or grain products, which you can't do because you're going to make chametz with it. So the Mishnah says, "Ein shurnus amurs in latana golem." You're not allowed to soak bran to feed to chickens because the bran is part of the grain kernel, and therefore it's going to become chametz. Aval chilton, but what you can do is you can put it in boiling water, because you put it in boiling water before it has a chance to become chametz. It's already boiled, and once it's boiled, it can't become chametz anymore. Now there is this concept of chalita, and we're going to talk about it more in the Gemara. However, the Ge'onim, already in the time of the Ge'onim, they answered it, because you can never be sure that you have to make sure the water is boiling hot, and you may not be careful enough. And if it's not, then you have the problem. Heat makes chimots happen faster. So if it's not literally boiling, then you have a bigger chance that you're going to create chametz with it. So the Rama mentions, for example, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that even though technically you have these dinim about chalita, but already the Goinim answered it, and that's the halacha. I think they maybe they make an exception if a person is sick and can't eat any other way, then they're allowed to do chalita, but otherwise not. Continues the Mishnah. It's a woman is not allowed to soak bran that she's going to take with her to the bathhouse and then rub it on her skin. Because again, you have the same problem. She soaks it and it's going to become chametz. What she can do is she can rub it on her skin while it's dry. Which means, in other words, Rashi says, even though there may be water, she just came out of the bathhouse, so there's water on her skin, that little amount of water is not going to cause it to become chametz. Other mafarshim say, what we're talking about is that even though she's sweaty, and sweat is considered like water in that regard, it can make things chametz, but again, there's so little over here that there's nothing to worry about. Continues the Mishnah, lo yilos adam chitin v'yaneach al makosai. A person is not allowed to chew wheat and put it on a wound in order to help heal the wound. Mipnei shehin machmitzis, because they become chametz, because saliva also is considered like water in that regard, and it's able to make things chametz. There's a Gemara in Ksubas, by the way, that mentions an interesting thing. The Mishnah chose this particular example in order to teach us, by the way, that chewed wheat is good to put on a wound. It helps heal it. So the Gemara has an expression of the Loshen Chachamim Marpe. Just the Loshen of the Chachamim itself teaches you healing things. Just incidentally, from a din that you're learning here in the Mishnah, you learn a valuable thing about healing. By the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch that what you can do is you can have a goy chew wheat for you, and then you put it on the wound, because then, since it's the goy's wheat, so it's not yours, so you're not over on Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, it's true you're having hanah from it, but it's hanah in an unusual way, and where it's needed, like this for healing, then the chacham won't goyzer on it. Even though you're just rubbing it, it would still be hanah. So if it's yours, you'd still have a problem that it's chametz and it's bal yirah bal yimotzeh. But if it's the goy's, then or you take wheat and give it to a goy. Let's say the wheat itself is not chametz after all. You take wheat and give it to a goy and have him chew it for you. And then he still owns it. And then he allows you to put it on your wound. Then that would be fine. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. Tanan Rabbanan. Eilu dvarim she'ein boin l'dei chimutz. The following things cannot become chametz. Ha'ofui, when it's baked. Now this is, you have, of course, the famous concept of gebrucht. The reason why we're careful with gebrucht, the Alter Rebbe mentions in his Truva, is because you may have some unbaked flour on the surface of the matzah. But in principle, the Alter Rebbe explains over there, what it is like this. It used to be, they took a long time kneading the matzahs. So therefore, there was no concern that there's going to be any unkneaded and unbaked flour, because they took a long time over it. Close to the Alter Rebbe's times, he describes, they started doing things differently. They started kneading the dough much faster and finishing and trying to finish the whole thing. Because technically, the halacha is, as long as we're going to learn in the next perek, as long as you're working on the dough, it won't become chametz. So in principle, you could be working on a batch of dough all day long and it wouldn't become chametz. Closer to the Alter Rebbe's times, they started being machmir on that and making sure that the whole thing is done within 18 minutes, like we do nowadays. So therefore, the kneading is done so fast, there might be some flour that wasn't properly kneaded and therefore doesn't get properly baked and is going to end up becoming, and therefore, if you put it in, then therefore, if you put it into water, then it may become chametz. That's the genesis of the idea of gebrucht. So, of course, we know large parts of the Welt don't hold of it because they're not concerned about that chumrah. And the Gemara does say over here that baked matzah is not going to become chametz. Even we are mekel on it on Achon Shal Pesach. But yeah, this is where it comes from. Continues the Gemara, but I'm a vushel, something that's cooked. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? If it's cooked, as you're cooking it, it's going to become chametz. What do you mean? So we'll see that in a second. V'cholot shecholte beroyskin, also where you put the flour or the grain or whatever in boiling hot water, where again, the idea is before it has a chance to become chametz, it's going to be boiled. Again, that we said the Goinim answered that, but yeah. So those things cannot become chametz. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, mevushal? What do you mean, cooked? If you take something of grain or of flour and cook it, adam avashale mechama, as you're cooking it, it's going to become chametz because it takes time for it to cook. Amar apapa ha'ofri shebishle kama. We don't mean ha'ofri v'ham mevushal, two separate things. We mean if you have matzah that was baked and then you're cooking it, then it's not going to become chametz, because once it's baked, then it's safe from becoming chametz, which is the whole dough, which is matzah brei, and matzah balls, and all those kinds of things are basically that. They take already baked matzah and they grind it up or they cook it or fry it or whatever. And yeah, if you don't hold it, there's an issue with gebrach. Then, as the Gemara is saying over here, then you're perfectly allowed to do that. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, I'm a kemach shenafal asecha delef. If you have flour and there's a leak from the roof falling into it, so you have drops of falling into it, afilo kolayim kulay, even if it's the whole day, ain't body day chimutz, it's not going to become chametz. However, I'm a papa Yehuda Ovid tif lahadi tif. That's only if it's one drop after another, because then there's no time in between for it to start becoming chametz, because each time a drop lands on it, and therefore like it disturbs that area. And therefore, like the chimutz process has no opportunity to get underway. It's like kneading it in a sense, right? But of course, as soon as what happens once the leak stops? Then you have a machlokes. Do you even have the time? Do you even have the regular 18 minutes from that point to bake it? Or maybe you don't even, because the fact is you have all this time. It's been wet, and all you need therefore is even a shorter amount of time, and already it'll start becoming chametz. So on the face of it, but you have Rishonim who learn that it means that at that point you better bake it right away. You don't even have the regular 18 minutes, because the fact is it became wet all this time. It was becoming wet all this time. Okay. Amri Dvei Rav Shila. They said in the yeshiva of Rav Shila, here's another din. Vatika shori. You're allowed to make vatika on Pesach. Now that is something made. It's a kind of food made with flour. So what do you mean? Valtanya vatika also. We learn in a braisa that vatika is also. The answer is like kasha. There's two different recipes that you can make. Hoda avde b'mishcha u'milcha. One way is you make it with flour together with oil and salt. That would be mutter, because mei peres and machmitzin. We learned a few days ago that fruit juice, including oil, is not able to make it become chametz. Therefore, that would be mutter. As opposed to hoda avde b'maya u'milcha. As opposed to if you make it with water and salt, then the water can allow it to become chametz. You actually have some rishonim who learn that even within salt itself. B'chal, you have the question, can you put salt in the matzah? It's not going to make it matzah ashira, but can you put salt in the matzah? Some of the posts can point out that salt, after all, it dissolves, it becomes like water, and maybe it promotes the chimutz process. So actually, some of the Rishonim draw a distinction between salt that's mined from mines where there's no trace of water in it versus salt that's made from evaporating seawater. Maybe there would be a difference. Lamaisa, many of the posts can say that you shouldn't put salt in at all, because it can make, after all, you have flour and water together with salt. It's more likely to become chametz, and therefore we don't put salt in the matzah. But again, the point is, the same way as we said before, that if you put in a little mei peres, then it makes it become chametz even faster than 18 minutes. Salt could be the same kind of problem. It makes it that it'll become chametz faster than it otherwise would. Yeah. Okay, another din in this connection, Amar Mar Zutra, Lo limchi inish kidra, a person should not thicken a stew in a pot, bikimcha da avishna, with flour made from toasted grain. Now, on the face of it, once the grain is toasted, then, as we said, we just said that things that are baked or whatever can't become chametz. So therefore, the toasted grain shouldn't be able to become chametz. And if you grind it up into flour, that flour can't become chametz either. The idea would be, you know, I was talking about the other day about what Rabbi Blumenkranz, Olav HaShalom, writes in his Pesach guide about how the scientific facts behind chimutz, that you have enzymes in the flour or whatever that are acted on by the yeast. The point is, once you bake or once you bake it or cook it or whatever, then those enzymes are destroyed. So now the yeasts have nothing to work on. So even though this is toasted grain and therefore the flour of it can't become chametz, but dumalei boshel shapir, the fact is it might not have been fully cooked. You might not have done such a good job of toasting this grain. Some of it might not be toasted, and now when you grind it up into flour, now that flour is going to become chametz stick. So therefore, no, you're putting it into a tavshil. That's what we're saying. Rashi explains that you have a stew cooking on the stove, which among other things contains water. You want to thicken it, because let's say a cholent or whatever, which is very thin, and you want to thicken it. So you would put in some flour, but on Pesach, you can't do that. And on Pesach, you can't put in flour, even if it's flour from toasted grain. What you could do, again, if you hold by gebrucht, you could put in matzah meal for that purpose. Because again, once it's baked, it's fully baked, then you don't have to worry about it. There's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim what this lo limchi inish kidra means. The Rambam talks about that it means that you finish making a pot, you cook in it for the first time in order to help strengthen the pot. And therefore, the point is that you can't use even this kimcha da'avishna, this flour from toasted grain, because it may become chametz as you're cooking it, because it may not have been fully toasted. Instead, what the Rambam says is you want to do that, use matzah meal. Okay. So tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn more dinim on these subjects of what can and can't become chametz, and therefore what you are and aren't allowed to do on Pesach in this connection. How far? Well, so we end Pesachim.